mechanical time consciousness cuts both ways for everyone who is at work and everyone who has any leisure. On the one hand, what it meant was that work was measured out in hours and minutes. You were paid by the amount of time you spent working, not by the size of the task. And that meant your relationship with your employer was absolutely mediated through clocks. Clock watching and clocking on started to become matters of fact for everyone who worked each day. On the other hand, what the clock did was to have a public place where everyone could look to see how long they were working. So from the 14th and 15th centuries onwards, you have lots of fights about being made to work for too many hours, and equally large numbers of fights if you were prevented from working sufficiently long to earn a living wage. The relationship between wage labor and the experience of work and the regular beating of the mechanical clock was an intimate, pervasive, and in the end, terrifying one. The way in which work was organized from the 18th century and the Great Automation started to depend on their relationship with the rhythm of the very machines that up till then they'd been using to work and produce. So that from the late 18th century onwards, the human component of a factory was seen as so many appendages to the great machines which dominated the factory. That meant that the rhythm of mechanical production started to govern the rhythm at which people were able to work and the rhythm at which they were forced to work. So that clocking on with a machine like this started to dominate the way in which people understood their own labor time. People could be fired. There are records in the 19th century, for example, of people being fired from British factories if they could tell the time themselves, so that the only clock that they were allowed to trust was the one that belonged to the factory. And from as early as the 1760s and 1770s, manufacturers like Josiah Wedgwood in Etruria, who was running a works which itself wasn't even yet automated, nevertheless began to install telltale clocks made by his friend in Birmingham, John Whitehurst, which governed the hours at which every potter in Wedgwood's factory would work, when they should turn up for work, when they should break, and when they should leave. And those telltale clocks told the tale of a new rhythm of industrial production. What you're seeing is a change from a world in which the amount you get paid depends on the task that you're performing, so that the rate at which you work depends on the rhythm of that task, whether it's cutting stone or building a ship or firing a gun. There are obviously many tasks which were extraordinarily hard to automate, but even those tasks where the rhythm depended on the intractable and complicated properties of the material that you were working were ineluctably brought within time regimes. So that already by the early 1800s, in fact, wages were paid by time rates, by the hour and by the minute. That meant, for example, that when you retired, you were often presented with a clock to symbolize the fact that loyal workers knew the value not only of their own time, but of their boss's time. And the symbol of the loyal trade unionist by the end of the 1800s was the gold chain watch on its fob that stood for that mixture of campaigning for workers' rights and playing the game by the employer's rules. In a similar way, the introduction of time and motion study is really pretty early in the Industrial Revolution. Already in the 1700s, you have spies sent into factories by bosses in order to work out the rate at which workers were working and to try and see if there were ways of making production processes more efficient. Overall, what you see is the slow but inexorable change from a process where people are compelled by external and often quite fierce regulation to work at the rate that the machines demand, to a kind of internal regulation in which the internal clock of every worker ticks in time with the rate at which the machines are running. something pretty specifically Western about the internalization of mechanical time, the way in which it's not just that one experiences time as something imposed from without by nature's rhythms, for example, or by the rhythms of some publicly established horological standard. What I think is happening in Western industrial society is that the whole sense of time gets increasingly internalized. We see this partly in the way in which to be civilized is to carry a clock, so that from the late Middle Ages already with portable clocks, and then massively from the 17th and 18th century, the idea of the watch is precisely what it is to be civilized. So that when Jules Verne at the end of the 19th century tries to define what being a gentleman, let alone being a worker, is, a gentleman is someone who knows the time without having to consult his watch, because he's completely internalized this mechanical, regular rhythm. And it's that way in which the clock is brought within psychology, within mentality, that I think defines a lot of what time means in the new industrial societies. You have automatic institutions, factories, workshops, for example, where the most important thing is getting the machines up and running and then production can start. Regulating and coordinating the different components of the workforce becomes essential. So that, for example, you could just as easily be fined for turning up early and expecting to be paid before the machines were up and running, as you could be fined for turning up late and thus wasting possibly productive hours after the machines have started. It's the precision which is going to be demanded from regular clocked work that I think is definitive of this new style of time management and industry.